Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. I'm recording on Wednesday, August 4th for publication on Wednesday, August 5th. We are including questions that got sent to Ask Catherine as of Monday and also is posted at subscriber input. If we didn't get to your question, please make sure to send it in again and we'll handle it next week. First question is, I wonder if Ellen Brown, who has the website Web of Debt, has some good ideas that we can implement. I know years ago she proposed state banks like North Dakota. I think state banks are designed to protect local banks from community banks or credit unions from sort of Federal Reserve engineered cycles is a great idea. And I think it's worked very well for North Dakota. So I like that. I don't like local banks funded by government money, because that's going to wipe out all the community banks. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's what the Federal Reserve wanted to do. So I would be extremely reticent to see government-funded banks competing for retail business at the local level. I think that's an absolutely dreadful idea. State banks like North Dakota, yes, and I've always really appreciated Ellen for pointing that out. Hello, Catherine. I've just joined the Salary Report subscription. I have to say it's refreshing to see someone who's actually offering solutions to using during these tumultuous times. I was wondering if you have any explanation about the fact that JPMorgan Chase has recently developed the cryptocurrency JPM coin. My understanding, they played around with that and then canceled that in 2019, so that's pretty old. I'm assuming after playing around and looking at sort of the problems and difficulties, they realized they were much better off doing funds, as they've just announced, for crypto or helping with the CBDC. They're the largest member, the most powerful member in the owners of the New York Fed. And I just think the conflict of interest in trying to do their own coin, given their roles and responsibilities, likely with CBDC and then what they're doing with the other cryptos, is just, it's not worth it. So I'm assuming that's why they backed up, but that's kind of an old story. So if there's something more recent that I don't know of, if they've dusted it off and brought it back out, let me know. Can you explain reverse repo that the Fed is evidently rocking? So this is an article from Zero Hedge about the extraordinary increase in the Fed activity in the reverse repo market. I'm assuming it's probably to finance growing government treasury inventories, because we saw the largest Japanese pension fund did a major reallocation out of treasuries, which is not a good sign. And so it wouldn't surprise me if the primary dealers are having to pick up treasuries around the world as well as continue to monetize the debt. So I think this is more of just the world, you know, leaving the financing of the government to the central banks. And this is why the point we made in the going direct reset is so important, that the Treasury can finance itself. It doesn't need this complex structure of the Fed issuing paper. Anyway, I put a link in the notes to the Japanese pension fund cutting its bond weighting to reduce Treasuries. I constantly am getting emails all of a sudden in the last week or two saying the coming financial collapse, the coming meltdown. My astrologer says the meltdown is coming at the end of the year. For some reason, it's all of a sudden spontaneously erupted that we're going to have a financial meltdown or a financial collapse. And again, there doesn't seem to be an understanding that there is no meltdown or collapse. There's an intentional takedown. And the takedown is accelerating. And of course, the ability to withstand the takedown is diminishing. But a takedown and a collapse are two different things. So I'll talk about that more in the next couple of Money in Markets. But beware the idea that we're going to get a big systemic collapse, because in fact, what is happening is one part of the economy is being destroyed to the advantage of the other part of the economy. And that's going to accelerate, because climate change is really going to be used to assert much more central control of resources by the guys at the top. Dear Catherine, my husband and I are subscribers. First, I wanted to say how amazing we have found the Salary content and how calming it is for me to watch you and your perspective and your laughter as to what's going on. We have woken up late, but at least we woke up. On a side note, I'm also a Philly girl, and we both met at Penn. So my question is, what is going to happen with home mortgages in the going to CBDC, and what do you advise if we have a mortgage, pay it or let it inflate away? Apologies in advance if you've already covered this. There are many different ways that home ownership and mortgages can be treated in the transition to CBDC. So I for one, believe this is impossible to say without having insider information. I think this is an environment where inflation is going to be a problem. So there is definitely a theory that says let it inflate away. I, for one, would like to have control of property. So I think getting out of the mortgage system, if you can't afford to pay it off, I think it's a much better investment than keeping your money in many other things. So I would be inclined to pay it off, even though I think financially there's an argument to inflate it away. If you have plenty of assets and resources, then it does make sense to inflate it away. But having those plenty assets and resources means you can pay off your mortgage quickly if you need to. But my tendency would be to reduce all risk and get intermediaries out of my life. So I would be for paying off the mortgage. Hi, Catherine. I haven't made contact with you yet, but I've been a follower for years since hearing you on Rents in 2019 when I lived in California. I've been a subscriber since May of this year. Your insights are unique, are always unique and brilliant, and I rely greatly on your guidance. Prior to even being a subscriber, I've been following your advice that you said, so then, this is great, they left California and went to North Carolina, and you describe, you got to know the sheriff, that's great, got to know the county commissioners. You had questions related to employer mandates, and I responded to you individually because I didn't want to put those in the notes. So I would strongly recommend you see the employer form. If you just go to the homepage and click on COVID-19 resources, you'll see it. Then you had questions to the Solari World screen. I don't make that list of stocks public. That's just made available to the asset manager who uses the list. I really wish you good luck. I think we're all struggling to find employers who don't create invasive mandates in our life. So I think if you look at what's happening with the mandates rolling out to the employers, they're a violation of healthcare privacy laws and clearly a violation of the constitutional laws. And it's just funny, I just saw a headline of Vanguard offering $1,000 to employees to take the injection. And I said, why would you want anybody managing your money who would take a $1 to $5 million lifetime loss or death and disability in exchange for $1,000? I wouldn't want anybody who'd make that trade managing my money. Hi, Catherine. Really enjoyed your recent talk with Corbett. I do not know how you do it, but your way of carrying yourself always enthusiastic helps a great deal. Thank you. It's hard not to succumb to complete demoralization these days. Where I live in Portland, Oregon, I hear the sirens of most ambulances all day long. Maybe I should emulate you, Ulysses, and plug my ears. I don't think that's a bad idea. If that's what you need to focus and get work done. So I don't think you're living in denial about what's going on. I do think you need to get work done during the day. So I don't think it's a bad idea to plug your ears. I have a nice nest egg in savings of around $25,000. Should I pay off as much of my remaining mortgage with that before the dollar tanks? I'm worried that someday it will disappear, especially if I'm not a good boy and roll up my sleeves. Again, there is an argument to let the dollar inflate away and handle your mortgage that way, but I don't like the risk of having intermediaries, particularly in my property. So I, for one, would argue to pay off your mortgage as fast as you can. And if you have a choice, I would also argue in being responsible for the smallest square footage possible, commensurate with being comfortable and functional. Catherine, my employer has moved from encouraging employees to report vaccine status to mandating it. Naturally, I think that is an invasion of privacy in the doctor-patient relationship. Do you have any guidance or suggestions for me if I should prefer not to share that information? At this point, I suspect the consequence of not sharing that information will mean being required to wear a mask in the office. If it is better to call me rather than respond by email, you're welcome to call me. So I would go through the employer form and see. So if you go to the Solari report and you go to the COVID resources and forms, you'll pull up the employer form. The link for the employer and school form is first. I would go through that and see if any of the information is helpful. I would be careful not to, in any way, not tell the truth. So it's great to duck, but I would not tell the truth. And I think this is clearly a violation of the HIPAA law, so I don't think it's any of their business. And if it is their business, then you have a right to ask them why, you know, what the other diseases are in the office and whether they're protecting you from that and get into that whole line of thinking. So I would go through the employer form and see if there are any ideas in there that could help. Hi, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber to Slayer and been listening to your interviews for years. Words can't describe how much I've learned. Your insights have been invaluable. I admire your sharp intellect and courage in your work. Yet your insider perspective cannot be replicated. I do consider you a hero from the bottom of my heart. I thank you for all you've shared with the public. I really appreciate those kind words. So then you had a question, and I believe I answered this last week, but I'll do it again. You had a question about how the role of foundations, and you're working on a novel that features an endowment fund. So here's what I would do. Norm Dodd did an incredible interview with Ed Griffin on the congressional investigation into foundations, and I would listen to that. You mentioned Harvard, which is one of the foundations I've looked at. And in the Dylan Reed in the Aristocracy of Stock Profits, there's a resource center, and one of the pages is organizations, and under the Harvard listing, there are documents for Harvard Watch. Harvard Watch was a group of law school students who took a look at Enron. And then there are also copies of the QI-TAM against Harvard for the role in the rape of Russia. I would recommend you take a look at the Harvard Watch material and the QI-TAM material, as that, you know, those two are sort of examples related to Harvard if you're interested. Naomi Klein's book, Shock Doctrine, which I recommend, I think it's very good, describes the role of the Ford Foundation in Latin America and gives a very good sort of view of how that worked. And then David Talbot has minimal references to the Rockefeller Foundation. They come at the end of the book. You have to go all the way through to the end, but I think they're sort of invaluable. So that's what I would do. I'd watch the video of Norm Dodd with Ed Griffith on foundations. And you can look at that congressional report. It's very, very, the final report is still available. And then the documents on Harvard and the Resource Center, Dylan Reed, and then Reed Talbot's Devil's Chessboard with reference to the Rockefeller Foundation and Naomi Klein, Shock Doctrine. Okay. Let's see. Hi, Catherine. Following up on your advice, I reached the conclusion I don't know or trust any of my bankers and trying to find a local independent bank in the Netherlands. I returned from my search empty-handed. Can you recommend a bank? I didn't find local options here in the Netherlands. I use Rabobank for my account here, and I continue to use my bank in National Bank of Malverns. Anyway, so I'm using a combination of National Bank of Malvern and Rabobank. So you replied with your challenges with Rabobank. Then I'd like to compliment the Slayer report on the investigation to going direct reset. And then you had a question on one of the videos from the German Corona Investigation Committee. I don't find that one particularly useful, but I'm very grateful to Rainer Fulmick and the German Corona Investigation Committee. I think they've done a really great job. With respect to Rabobank, I would tell you that I had due diligence to Rabobank pretty carefully many years ago for a client in the United States, and they came up with excellent marks for me at that time. Now, that was U.S. operations. There's a big difference between a conservative bank. You were describing a bank that's being conservative. There's a big difference between a conservative bank and a bank that is functioning as a criminal enterprise. And I put a link in the notes to point out the description in the first quarter 2019 wrap-up on ESG, including we put together a list of all civil and criminal settlements by JP Morgan Chase from 2006 on. And I would describe that pattern as someone who is systemically criminal as a business plan. So I think that's a very, very, very big difference. If you look at your criticism of Rabobank, it was really describing a bank that wasn't set up to handle crypto. And that's perfectly legitimate in my mind. Hello, Catherine. I'm a recent subscriber and grateful to you for all you're doing to provide a perspective on current events and past history. The website resources are extraordinary, and I've barely scratched the surface. Let me just note to everybody, there is a tremendous amount of material in the library. Don't forget to go search the library, and a lot of it is still timely. So you have a series of questions on IRAs, which I can't answer. No one could answer this unless they knew a lot more about you. One of the things I used to tell clients when I worked as an investment advisor is, you know, you don't want to have all your assets in a partnership with the government. So a lot of this depends on what your assets are, where they are, and how it relates. So I don't know that. I can't say. And even if I did know it, I couldn't give you investment advice. So the issues around traditional IRAs is, do you want to be liable for taxes in the future? So, you know, would you rather convert to a Roth IRA or cash out now if you don't have to pay fees? It depends on what your age is, but, you know, the fees can be pretty stiff if you take it out now. And so if that's the case, you're often better off going to a Roth. The pros and cons of a Roth depend on your different tax status. So it's the kind of thing you want to do a pro forma with, or if you can, or work with a CPA to help you determine pro forma what the pros and cons are of doing a Roth at this time. So taxes is one issue, taxes and fees. The other is, do you want to be in partnership with the government, and how much money do you want to be in partnership in the government? Now, at various times in the past, the government has made noise about sort of converting IRAs to annuities, which is, to me, is theft. You know, it's communism. I haven't seen any recent noise. What I will tell you is the government played games with my IRA when I was litigating with Hamilton, and as a result, I've refused to put money in a 401k or IRA ever since. There are tremendous financial advantages to me if I do put money in such things, but I just want nothing to do. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So I want nothing to do with them, but I want to be free to say whatever I say on this Salary Report, not worried that they're going to play games again with my 401k or IRA. So I just want as few partnerships with the government as possible. You know, I sent back the subsidy checks on coronavirus, so that's me. Franklin Sanders says all government money comes with a sock in the jaw, and that's my experience. You need to work out the tax issues, and then you need to decide whether you want to be in partnership with the government. And those are the two issues. And given what I know, there's no way I could, or how little I know about your specific situation, there's no way I could make a recommendation. But you can figure it out. Absolutely. Number two, what criteria should you use to evaluate an IRA custodian? There are different custodians for securities than there are for precious metals, than there are for private equity. And they're also, you know, you can do an IRA in other jurisdictions. So there are multiple jurisdictions. So a lot of this depends on what you want to have custodian, but I always look at the record of an entity and the ownership, governance, and manage of an entity, and then the financial and operational endurance. So the first thing I always look at is who's who, who's the owner, who's the governance, who's the management. Now, if you're doing securities, there are very few, you're going to have to be with a big financial institution, and you're not going to have a lot of selection unless you go to multiple jurisdictions. What criteria would you use to find a like-minded investment advisor? I spent a lot of time when I was an investment advisor looking for fellow investment advisors to collaborate with or to send clients to, and found very, very, very few. I found a few, but very, very few. So I would look at experience. I would look at their record. It depends on whether you want a fee-only financial planner versus an asset manager. But if you want an asset manager, you absolutely have to look at their record. You want somebody who understands reality. There's a lot of great investment advisors who are very much in the official reality, and they have a good record, and it makes me nervous because I just feel like they could get the rug pulled out from under them. And then you want full disclosure of fees and conflicts. All investment advisors published in the United States publish a form ADV, and in different jurisdictions, equivalent kinds of forms. And so you want to make sure that they've given you full disclosure, and you want to take the time to really read all the disclosure. And usually I find it's pretty, you know, they make a lot of information available, and it's a matter of taking the time to sit down and read. If you're doing a search for an investment advisor, just you need to be willing to invest the time to really do your due diligence. And I have to say, whether it's a custodian, whether it's a bank, whether it's an investment advisor, whether it's a financial planner, whether it's a CPA, any of the people helping you with this, any aspect of your money, there is nothing like meeting somebody in personally and getting a feel for them. And I just think there's nothing that can replace, after really good due diligence, a sort of just personal comfort in getting to know somebody. A lot of times, if somebody isn't a person of integrity, you're able to feel it and sense it. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for integrity. Then you ask your thoughts on federally chartered credit unions versus state chartered credit unions. I'm not an expert on credit unions, so I can't tell you a lot. I would want to be, if I was looking at state chartered, I'd want to be, you know, there's wide variation in the quality of states and their regulations. So I think you have to compare a specific state jurisdiction if you're going to do this comparison. If you look at our article on how to find a good local bank, which you can find it at the bottom of the Cash Friday link, Cash Friday's linked from the homepage, what you'll see is the process by which I look at it, an institution like this. And again, the first thing I'm looking at is who owns, who governs, who manages. Now, obviously, in a credit union, it's the depositors who own. And so the quality of the depositors is very important. But again, you're looking at governance and management. And what I find is great governance and great management and long-standing experience, just they count for a huge amount, because what you're looking for is a group of people who can endure, who can lead an institution that endures, has real endurance, has real resilience. In the last equity overview that we just did, I put up a link to an article on resilience, which is really a great article about the importance of looking for resilience in a company and why that is not immediately apparent. You have to dig to sort of understand that. I emailed you several weeks ago, but was unable to find the questions printed in Ask Catherine. I assume that email went awry, and so I'm sending these questions now. I don't remember answering this one, so I'm not sure what happened to that email, and I apologize if it was us. Hi, Catherine. I recently had to have my house replumbed, about $6,000. And then you described, this is great, you've been negotiating with all the tradesmen in your area for a lot of work, but being willing to offer cash in exchange for a discount. And it sounds like you're doing great. I put an article up in the notes about whether or not businesses can offer discounts for cash, which they can in almost all jurisdictions in the United States. It sounds like you're writing from the States, although I'm not sure. You do want to make sure what the rules are about discounts where you are, but I think the more we can protect small business and Main Street from the skim of financial transactions, the better we are. And of course, it keeps everything private. Hi, Catherine. The primary distinction between feudalism and free society is our right to property ownership. Then you found a group that's working on how to protect your property, which I think it's so important to be able to do this. I don't know anything about this. It's land patent system. I don't know anything about it. I tend not to spend a lot of time on digging into some of these sort of efforts to really understand and find loopholes or find ways out of the common overt tax and legal systems, because I find that the people running things don't respect any laws, no matter which legal system you come up from. So looking for laws that will get you out, that they will respect, is a tricky thing. Then somebody posted the links. ADL is working on a no-buy list for PayPal. I just think this is all part of using employers for various kinds of mandates. And I just think this is not what, I just think this is sad to see. My wife sells vegetable bedding plants at the local feed mill. She sells on the honor system where people put cash in a wooden barrel. I've tried to get her to offer a 90% discount if people will pay in silver coin. Wow, 90% is way too much, I think. Did you mean to say 9%? I'm not sure. But I love the idea of doing this. And in fact, it's on my list to do this for Solaria if people want to pay for subscriptions in silver. I'd love to see that happen. The Office of the Control of the Currency announced a climate change officer. The wave, John and I talked about this in Money Markets this week. The wave of climate change regulations is coming fast and furious. And as soon as I finish with CBDC, I'm going to turn to see what they're up to. I think we all know what they're up to because Patrick Wood and Rosa Quar and a lot of people have described sort of the grab of natural resources by the top 1%. And I think I've always told you my favorite climate change luncheon was having lunch with a German scientist in Italy, and he regaled us on the carbon footprint of Lockheed F-35s in the military. It was kind of funny. Not to mention, I think Bitcoin is now using more energy than Germany. So it's there's definitely a multiple personality disorder thing to be sorted out. Dear Catherine, my mid-50s and very healthy friend caved into peer pressure and got the double shot. 2 weeks ago, she suffered a deep brain stroke. She's active, healthy, etc., and she had a stroke. I haven't seen her since 1 month before all this happened. 1 week ago, I had a deep brain stroke. Me, healthy, fit, no smoking, drinking, drugs, and no history. Spent 4 days in the hospital and am on meds. Never had a vaccine, but had a stroke. How I am lucky in that, the only issue I have is my left calf is an issue. Doctors say that my being healthy is the main reason I'm still here. Wondering, is vaccine shedding the cause? Looking to detox. This is really frightening. I really want you to keep me posted about how you're doing. This could have been EMF radiation. So one of the things I would do is whatever you can, I'd certainly get a meter to be able to test the EMF radiation where you're living in your home and do everything you can to reduce EMF radiation because this is really, really disturbing. I don't know what the real truth is on transmission and the scientists I know are, you know, they're in the process of steadily trying to figure out more and more, but this is certainly on the list. Then the next question is on graphene oxide. And you sent a link to a former Pfizer employee. I'm not sure it's, this must be Mike Eden confirms poison in COVID vaccine. There was a contractor from Pfizer. I think she was a contractor who knew a lot more about the graphene, and I thought her interview was very, very interesting. So I'm in the John Rappaport camp here. I would love to have a serious team of scientists review the graphene issue relative to vaccines or injections, COVID-19 injections, other vaccines, certainly, masks and swabs. I don't know of a serious view, and part of it is trying to get a hold of vials and the laboratory capacity you need to go through them. But there's something going on, and certainly in terms of magnetism, that needs to be understood. And I just think it's imperative that we understand we have a complete list of all the ingredients and don't have that. So we don't know what's in the stuff. And based on the different adverse events around the world, it's not clear to me that Pfizer vaccine in one place is the same as a Pfizer vaccine in another place, particularly a Pfizer vaccine in poor neighborhoods appears to be, in my book, very different than in rich neighborhoods. So I'm very concerned about different batches. We see headlines of saline solution showing up all around the world. So I just think we don't begin to have the knowledge we need to know to understand what's in this stuff and what it can do to you. Do you need a religious exemption from the vax? Maybe time to join the Russian Orthodox Church. You put a link to a military religious exception information, and I couldn't, I wasn't a member, so I couldn't get in. I would point out the Russian Orthodox Church recommends that its followers be vaccinated. There's real institutional pressure there going the wrong way. Then someone sent a report in from a friend at a big bank and a relative at a big bank, and their pressure to get people to take the vaccination. One bank suddenly gave everybody a 10% base pay increase, and that's probably to, you know, they're going to come back with mandates first. They want to sweeten you up is my expectation. I just read that Goldman Sachs has done this at 30%. Wow. You know, it's funny, if I was Goldman Sachs, I would be scared to death that a lot of high-performance people were going to quit if they mandate. why would, if you look at the talent that works at Goldman Sachs, you know, those people are fairly committed to individual sovereignty. I don't think 30% is going to do it. And then you talk about somebody who's being coerced in a healthcare system in Minnesota. There's only one way to stop these mandates and for enough people to walk out. So this, you know, this is on the line dirtball. They're going to push. They're going to try and get away with everything down to slavery. And the question is, how hard are people going to push back? If we push back, it stops. And that's why we made the employee and school forms that you can find at on the homepage. You can link to them from the homepage. So I think the question is, now the problem is, if you're at a big bank, you know, if you say, if you're at the bank you described first, then your friend is helping a machinery go that's a criminal enterprise and killing people. And so the karma is now coming back. And I really, you know, I have to say, as a spiritual matter, what you put out is what comes back in. And so there's a bigger question here. Why are you helping a criminal enterprise, you know, commit genocide around the world? So I think there's a need to take personal responsibility and face what we're all doing. So I think the first friend certainly, and the second, have a more sobering responsibility. Catherine, my name is KR, and when my wife experienced severe neurological reactions after a shot, I created and managed a website, C19 Vax Reactions, for her and other social media groups. So I've put a link into our news, trends, and stories. And I very much appreciate what you're doing to publicize vaccine injury and death. I think the more we can publicize this, the better. Then somebody described the Willie Nelson Show. I thought I had that in last week, but it sounds wonderful. I love Willie Nelson so much. Anyway, you say his sister was still playing. Let me see if I can find this. Willie is 91, his sister is 88, and they're still going strong. That's great. Hi, Catherine. If you have any guidance for us in Australia, please share it with me. We have a prayer book, and in the prayer book, and the last prayer is the deer's cry. I strongly recommend you pray that morning, noon, and night. I can't tell you how well that prayer works. It always has worked for me. I would strongly recommend you take a look at the employee and student and other forms, because they, and the family financial disclosure form, they will inform you about informed consent. And informed consent is a weapon that we all need to have ready to use. What's happening in Australia is very, very shocking to me. I should just note, I'm working now and putting together an online celebration for Jason Bowden-Smith, who died Monday before last, so August 26th. He'd been struggling with cancer for quite a while and had done amazing things to improve his health, but it wasn't enough. And I think certainly the COVID period has been very rough on him. And if you look at what his family has endured to try and pull together the funeral, it's so shocking because, as you know, I think of Australia as the lucky country. So I would absolutely pray. And I would do everything you possibly can to make yourself more economically resilient. The more you can do for yourself, the better. And whatever your economic circumstances, just keep learning new skills. This is an environment that calls for very high learning speed in terms of practical skills. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for all that you're doing and for helping me personally connect the dots. Do you have a page that keeps a running list of court cases challenging COVID-19? No, you mentioned the American Frontline Doctors. Great job. We always try and put them in news, trends, and stories. So we've got the American Frontline Doctor there. I just interviewed Leslie Mnookin of the Health Freedom Defense Fund and to talk about the mask litigation she's doing. And then I published the Pfizer expert statement that backed up Renata Holstein's litigation in Europe. So I try and highlight the lawsuits, but there are many that are coming out that I may not be aware of. So I would really encourage you to go to the new subscriber input and put in, you know, start a forum where you can just load things in and collect them and encourage other subscribers to do the same. If you do that, I'll encourage them as well. I've asked this question before, but have come up with new information. I'm a resident of Texas and found out we have $96 billion in debt. You want to look at debt on a per capita basis. One of the reasons I live in Tennessee is it has the lowest per capita debt in the state in the country. You ask if you should move to Oklahoma instead. I don't know. There are many reasons to stay in Texas, many reasons to go to Oklahoma. And I don't know which jurisdiction will turn out to be better. I mean, there's certainly less people in Oklahoma. But remember, if you go, you need to go to a county jurisdiction that is very good. So I would track the sort of passport laws. What I would be focused on is the passports and sort of financial freedom, because that's where the big danger lies. We may see states try and mandate injections, probably working through the employers. I don't know. This one's hard. You know, Texas is a great jurisdiction, and it's got a lot of people committed to individual and state sovereignty, and it's got a lot of resources to do so. And the question is, you have the cities who've gotten very, you know, very supportive, the populations in the big city, very supportive of central control and repression. And so you're going to have a rural urban issue politically in Texas more so than in Oklahoma is likely. I think this one is a tough call. Hello, Misfits. Thank you for everything. I will try and be brief. After listening to you for some time, I sense you're a believer in Christ and what he did for us. Both my husband and I try to view everything through the spiritual filter of scripture. My question is this. What is your personal view on the chaos we're living in and how it fits into the prophecies in Revelation? More specifically, where it states that there will be a one-world government and one-world economy. I confess I tried to understand Revelations and I never could. I do believe that we're trying to implement the injection process with COVID-19 is trying to implement the Mark of the Beast system. So we're definitely looking at the Mark of the Beast prophecy in the Bible. And it's funny, there's one passage where they say, you know, in the end times, in the last days, the spirit of offense, of giving and taking offense will rise. And boy, you really see that. But I do believe this is implementing the Mark of the Beast. So in that sense, you can say we're there. And then you recommended a book called The Unseen Realm, which looks very good. So I have ordered the book. So I appreciate that recommendation. I'm ordering way too many books. I'm backed up. Hi, Catherine. Perhaps I missed it, but have you mentioned Sheriff Mack? Yes. We did an interview with Sheriff Mack. It's in the library. It's called Who's Your Sheriff? You know, as you know, I think who your sheriff is very, very important. So I'm glad you're following up on that. Then a question about to have a more complete picture of the UFO story, the Vatican Library has to be unlocked for the coming rollout of disclosure. I couldn't agree more. One of the funniest Pulp Fiction books I ever read was the story of the Second Coming. Jesus comes back as a woman, and the first thing Jesus does is throw open the doors of the Vatican with the global press behind them and storms into the Vatican Library. It's pretty funny. And then you ask a question about Luis Elizondo and bring attention to the fact that his attorney is Danny Sheehan, who has a close relationship with the Jesuits in the Vatican. I confess I don't follow what Elizondo is doing. If you look at what he's doing, spending time on that is not the best use of your time, in my opinion, if you want to understand the whole UFO area. And what I would do is I would read Richard Dolan's UFO for the 21st Century Mind. We regularly recommend it in the best books of the year. He's got a new one called Alien Agenda that's worth reading too. And I think Richard and other people have done more to sort of get the information in this area organized and digestible. And there's no doubt, if you look at what's going on behind the secret paywall covertly, it's a lot of stuff. And you know, Joseph and I go through the unanswered questions every wrap up, and a lot of them relate to what's going on here. But rather than pay attention to sort of the current disclosure, which we cover it in the quarterly wrap ups and in money and markets, because it's relevant to, I think it's relevant to the missing money and some of the You know, to me, they're building up to, oh, we need a global government to deal with the UFOs, et cetera, et cetera. It's all part of globalizing the military, which I'm tracking very much in money and markets. So to me, this is more about how they de-link the U.S. dollar system from the U.S. electorate. That's what this is really about. But if you want to understand UFOs, I'd spend your time on reading some of the really good books that helps you get a framework for the issue and what it means to you. Catherine, I have been following Dr. Simone Golden, American Frontline's doctors, in regard to masks, injection, etc., and seem to recall you referencing them in the past. At the bottom of their webpage is a note that they are a project of the Free Speech Foundation. When I looked up their Facebook page, I was taken aback. So my guess is that when you start a group like this and you want to get a tax exemption, you don't have time to set up your own infrastructure, so you need a fiscal sponsor. And I'm assuming the Freedom Project was willing to, the Free Speech Foundation was willing to be their fiscal sponsor. So if you look at what fiscal sponsors do I have a problem with that? No. I looked at the page. I didn't see anything. I think it's, if you're American Frontline Doctors, it's very hard to find a fiscal sponsor. So I'm grateful that someone would do it. I think the American Frontline Doctors is a great group. And I just think they're a great group. And Gold's a great leader. So bravo for them. Hello, Catherine. I'm using a cell phone because I moved and do not have a landline. My ears burn when I use the cell phone. And I'm trying to find a solution to this problem. I would use the speakerphone and stay as far away from it as possible. Never put it to your head. I received an email today from Sasha Stone about products made by Me Mom Global. I don't know them. And then you've also read about Blue Shield. I use Blue Shield. Jason Bawden Smith recommended that to me, and I use them. He never recommended them strongly publicly because they didn't do detailed studies of their impact. The practical results I've gotten with them to me says something's working, so I use them. But I don't necessarily think that's enough to help you with your cell phone. I think you just have to stay away from it if you're going to talk on that. You might want to try doing something through a computer where you can stand back and stay away from it. Hi, Catherine. A chew went down my spine when I heard your latest Ask Catherine about a subscriber who had unordered Amazon packages. We talked about this on Money and Markets this week. We've got multiple subscribers letting us know that they're getting packages from Amazon on an unsolicited basis. And the official explanation is that it's a review phishing scheme where people want to get reviews. So they mail out packages and then they jump on and give themselves a review, etc. That may be so. I would be very careful. I would never immediately return to sender. I would never open or use anything in these kind of packages. I don't think it's safe. So I'll just be very, very careful. I can't tell you how common poisoning is in the United States. It's just unbelievably common. So be careful. On Saturday's Freedom Protest, Dr. Reiner Fulmich broadcast a message at Trafalgar Square. And at 7:30, he mentions you inventing the term Mr. Global. Actually, I didn't invent it. A cartoonist who worked for Sanders Research in London invented it. I love their cartoon, but they stopped doing it. And I just kept using Mr. Global because we need a way of describing a secret governance system. You know, we need a name for it. And secret governance system is way too many syllables. So I call it Mr. Global. But I see more and more people picking up on it and using it because they also need a word for the secret governance system. And it was interesting in the Doctors for COVID Ethics Symposium, which was really amazing, and the edited versions are now available. You can get them at UK Column News or link to them from Soleri. More and more people were using the expression Mr. Global because the lawyers, the economists, the doctors, the scientists all were coming to the conclusion that we didn't have a health problem. We didn't have a legal problem, although there is no law. We didn't have a financial or economic problem. The problem we had was we had a secret governance system, which was above the law and behaving in criminal ways. You know, and so there's a need for a term for that thing. And I think Mr. Global is a very, very useful term. We are intrigued to learn. So somebody's asking about traveling in Europe. So I have been driving in Europe. And so I've driven a couple times from the Netherlands to Switzerland. I've been able to do that because Germany was permitting transit for business. And so as long as I was just driving through, and I can do that, I can get one tank of gas in the Netherlands and drive all the way to Switzerland because I have a diesel car. And they have always been business trips, and Germany permits the transit for business. I'd like to go again sometime in the next 1 to 3 months, and I'm going to have to check to see if those rules still apply. If you're driving to Switzerland, make sure you stop at the border and get a highway pass. So I found the Swiss are strict about making sure you have a highway pass, and that's going to cost you 40 plus, I think it's 41 or 42 francs. Dear Catherine and Solaria team, I wrote and sent a booklet on the Wellness Pro microcurrent device unsolicited to your Tennessee headquarters, and now I've listened to your current Ask Catherine, don't send unsolicited materials in the mail. I never wish to worry anyone receiving these. Guess I was feeling exuberant. So there's no need to apologize. It was clear from what you sent that this was not highly unlikely to be one of the problem packages. So my assistant has forwarded it, but I've not had a chance to read it yet. And just let me note, because many wonderful people send me books and other materials. When you get recommendations to read 40 to 100 books a month, there's no way you can respond to all of them. And it's tricky to try and filter out which ones would be the most useful, but I do try. You sent, the next person sent a link to a video interview that was on Facebook. I can't log into Facebook. I don't have a Facebook account, nor will I get one. So, but it was Del Bigtree, and I think it said WHO whistleblower. So I think it was Astrid Steckelberger, who was the hero of the week 2 weeks ago. She's fantastic. I think her interviews are great, and the interview with Del was great. Hello, Catherine, my family. So this is somebody from Australia who describes their situation and wants to know if there's a benefit to renouncing your citizenship in the United States. I think there's a small chance it may offer you options at some point, particularly if some states hold out against the tyranny. So, I don't think it will subject you to deportation. You never know, but I would hold on to it. I wouldn't give it up quite yet. Hi, Catherine. I wanted to share a theory about Western, esoteric Christianity, King Henry VIII, and ancient Hermeticism through the Vitruvian Man. Okay, I've got it. I'll take a look. Somebody sent a lot of links about the funny business of employees working from home and getting rid of the employees. They're clearly de-linking the U.S. military and many of the legal and regulatory functions from both the electorate and the civil service and moving them global. And I think this is all part of moving everything global under the excuse of the pandemic. And we're literally watching the U.S. dollar reserve system, whether it's the regulatory payment mechanism, civil service side, the treasury, the military, all being linked, delinked, and moved globally. So this is, you're really watching a coup d'etat. Now, it's been good. The financial aspects have been going since 1998, but it's accelerating. A lot of this is if you move all the operations to the depository banks, the central bank, and the corporate contractors, then there is no government. There's no information sovereignty. There's no financial sovereignty. And it's much easier to globalize the government without sort of operational hiccups. We have an interesting candidate, Kathy Barnett, running for Senate. This is in Pennsylvania. Last time around, she lost the House race. She did not have the Republican endorsement. And they definitely played games. I've listened to her live a few times, and a friend's college-age daughter often speaks at her campaign events. I'm considering donating to her campaign. It seems grassroots. But it has me wondering, how does one really discern who to support in these situations? You can learn a person's history and their qualifications. You can see recommendations from the people who know and support them. You can see memberships and affiliations. I would check if you go to Open Secrets, which is the federal, but then there are also state websites that do the same. You can track where all their money came from. And I find it very interesting to go in Open Secrets and see who's donating and where the money's coming from. Hi, Catherine. Is it true that we have now been occupied by foreign government military? So this is a link to the NATO command in Norfolk going live. No, we're not occupied by a foreign government. What we have done is we've brought up a NATO headquarters in, not the full NATO headquarters, but a command location in Norfolk. It's been coming up for a while. It started a while ago, and they finally went fully operational this in July. What we did do, and this is very big, much bigger than most people give credit for, we announced that the responsibility for the Atlantic sea lanes were a joint responsibility of NATO and the United States, and that's all part of globalizing the military. When we announced we thought we should get out of Afghanistan, it wasn't the U.S., it was the U.K., NATO, and the U.S. So they're clearly using NATO as part of the mechanism for shifting control of the government and military to a global infrastructure. But I think it's going to be much more incremental than is implied by this article. The article is not factually correct. We did not turn Norfolk Naval Base over to NATO. I will say this. We didn't turn it over, but if you look at the command structure we're building for NATO there, it can grow into that, which could take over control of Norfolk, and it wouldn't surprise me if that's the plan. Someone wrote a long piece about the history of bioweapons and said, I think it's important to learn that bioweapons have been used for a long, long time, and now they have become more sophisticated in their tactics. Ultimately, it's about getting more and more control over the global population. I totally agree. I think biowarfare goes back hundreds, if not thousands of years. I would say thousands of years. And I think it's incredibly important to understand because I think many populations around the world have been a target of bioweapons for a long, long time, including the American population. And it's one of the reasons for as much toxicity and inflammation as there is. Going direct reset. Dear Catherine, here's a link to a technical interview by Dr. Mobeen, I don't know how to pronounce his name, and Dr. Bruce Patterson about long-haul COVID research and treatment. I took a look at this. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched some of it, and it sounds very interesting. I would like to know more about this and whether or not, how much of this is COVID-19 versus what I call the great poisoning. And one of the things you say is that this could bankrupt the country. Get in line, because the same issue related to chronic disease and autism in the kids. So the U.S., a combination of the extraordinarily expensive, highly regulated healthcare system, as well as massive amounts of chronic disease and disability, you know, we're talking about really the end of the United States as a practical matter when you look at the health issues. So I think, I don't know how, what the Dr. Patterson is saying about people who've had COVID getting it again and again. I don't know if that's COVID or if that's what I call the great poisoning, because there's so many different forms of poisoning and environmental pollution that have been introduced. It's hard to sort them out. Question. I made this video for a local gymnastics studio. This is a wonderful, wonderful video, and we put it into News Trends and Stories, and we're going to be making a $100 donation, and I really appreciate your sending it. It's about a great small business in the LA area. Dear Catherine, hello again. This is my second query to you, and then there are two long posts about a product called ASEA. ASEA, which I don't know a lot about. At one point, I'd ordered it, and then it just didn't resonate, so I didn't use it, but I really am completely ignorant, but I'll put these in the notes, and I appreciate your sending. Hello, Catherine. You mentioned undergoing treatment for this condition. This is on detox. There is a great interview with Dr. Laura Thompson in the library. I put the link in the notes, Coming Clean Detox Power with Dr. Laura Thompson. And then Bridget Moucher in the Wellness Series just did a new one. And what these do is they walk through different methods for detoxing. And what I found is you really have to find your own pathway here. I did oral. What worked for me was a combination of oral chelation, iron cleanse foot baths, foot detox pads, and colon cleansing. And that combination really made a huge difference for me. No questions in local gatherings, but we continue to prototype connectauxiliary.com if you want to gather people in your local area, make sure to touch base with customer service and get yourself on Connect. At one point, we'll open that up and sort of invite everybody in, but people are trickling in and there's a lot of great groups going. Recommended links. Someone sent, this is unbelievable. This is a guy at the World Economic, I guess he's affiliated with the World Economic, talking about humans as hackable animals and suggests that the days of free will are over. Oh, you just don't, all you can do is pray for these people. And then somebody sent a quote that's bopping around from Kissinger. I haven't republished it. I would avoid it unless you can get independent verification. I'm a skeptic. Then somebody sent a link to Steiner's discussion of how vaccines will be used to de-link the etheric body from the physical body and so destroy or reduce our spiritual capacity. And I think Steiner has this one absolutely nailed. So it's one of the reasons I think these injections are so dangerous. Next question. Hi, Catherine. First, I want to thank you for the work you do in the Dots You Connect. Your role is cybersecurity, and then you found a Canadian named Gary Wayne who's written a book called The Genesis 6 Conspiracy. I don't know of him, but I thank you for the links. I took a little look last night, and he's got a series on teachings from Revelation, and as I said, I'm still struggling to understand Revelations, but I appreciate your sending. Dear Misfits, please consider these two short videos. One is UN armored trucks in Toronto, Canada. Looks pretty strange. And there's no doubt NATO and the UN are being used to sort of globalize the US dollar reserve system. That's what it looks like to me. And then video of somebody saying, get supplies, you need more resiliency. I think it's very important to have operational and personal resiliency. And it's just a matter of how much we have in the way of resources and time to get ready. So we're going into an environment that calls for much more resiliency. Then somebody sent a link to a letter of sheriffs who are pledging support to the Second Amendment. That's great. Who's your sheriff? You need to know who runs enforcement in your area. Then somebody sent a link for who owns organic. A lot of organic has been bought up by big food companies. And that's why I say it's really important to find and build out your local farmers and local markets. And then undertake action. Again, another plug for connect.celeri.com. If you want to plug into other Celeri Report subscribers in your area, great. We just had a fabulous event in Tennessee. Franklin Sanders spoke. As I was not there, I called him by phone. And it was a small group, about 30 subscribers from Western Tennessee, mid to Western, came out and met each other and really enjoyed meeting each other. And everybody always enjoys hearing from Franklin. So as more and more people gather this way, it gives us the ability to do these kind of gatherings so that you have a chance to meet each other. So that's it for Ask Catherine for, again, recording Wednesday, August 4th, publishing Thursday, August 5th. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. Talk to you next week on Ask Catherine.